Well, it's been a while since I've been up here, but the feeling hasn't changed. Still nervous. You know, it doesn't change. But anyway, thank God for His grace and mercy. That's all I can say. Well, tonight we're going to I'm going to start off with reading a scripture. That's what we'll do. We'll start off with a scripture. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin has its own life, and sin grows. That's what the scripture is saying, that sin grows, because it says that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, so when sin's a finished product, it brings forth death. You know, up to a couple of weeks ago, I had no idea. I knew a lot about sin. I thought I knew a lot about sin. Let me rephrase that. But sin is not talked about much, in my opinion, especially in the church. I think here we pretty much covered it. We're not afraid to speak about anything at this point, especially sin. But in a lot of churches, sin won't even be brought up. And it should be. The reason why is because we have to contend with sin until Yeshua returns. So I think we need to know about sin. Because See, the thing about sin in our spiritual life, I don't care how long we've been going to church, how much information we get, what spiritual level we on, you can never escape sin. You never get to that point to where you know something, I'm so righteous, I don't have to worry about sin because it can't touch me. Well, the Bible says if a man thinks something that he's not, he deceives himself. So we have to be careful there because sin is a constant battle. And my question is, if we're not fighting sin, what are we doing? Because we have to do it every day. That's why he tells us in his word that every day, daily, we should put on Yeshua. Every day, we should put on the armor which represents Yeshua. Every day. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. When we talk about sin and how important it is to know sin and how important it is to know our life when it comes to sin and the things we have to do to fight against it. So sin has its own life. And it feeds off of our life for the simple purpose of ruling and reigning over our life. That's what it wants. Sin wants to rule and reign over our life. But there are some things we can do so we can rule and reign over sin. All right. All right. No sin is an end in itself. But it always leads to another sin. Always. If you allow a certain sin to come in and rule and reign over your life, guess what it's doing? It's directing you to another sin. And it never stops. Until what? Until it's finished. Well, what's the finished product? Death. So sin grows. If sin is not cut back, it will keep growing until the end. It'll keep growing. And You know, I thought about this because, you know, I look at the patterns in the scripture. Anyway, this one, the story about the guy, Jesus told a parable about the owner, this land owner that planted, he planted wheat. And it says that after he planted the wheat, the enemy came in and planted tares. So anyway, his servants went and tell him, you know, and ask him, you know, should we pull the tares up? And he says, no, don't pull the tares up because you'll damage the wheat. Well, there's a difference between sin and people. God loves people, but he doesn't love sin. You know, so anyway, I was just thinking about that, how it wasn't. That's not part of the pattern, because God loves people. He don't love sin. And again, we can never reach a level of spirituality where temptation to sin is not alive in our lives. It's alive. It always will be. It's something that we're going to have to contend with until Yeshua returns. We'll have to contend or battle against sin until Yeshua returns. We must master sin. All right? We must master. That's what the scripture says. That's what it teaches. We must master sin or what? Sin will master us. So, how do we master sin? You know, again, this is, sin is not a subject that we really want to talk about. Not, even in our personal life, you know, we kind of talk about sin. We just move on from it. But really, we shouldn't. We shouldn't just move on. All right, so we don't talk about it with each other. And if we do it, it ain't very often. We try not to think about it. When I sin, I hide it and I move on. I say a prayer and I'm done with it and I move on. That's pretty much what we do. But our job is to keep sin under submission. And I think I put that one out of place, but I'll come back to it. So what are we in bondage to, right? We're in bondage to sin. In Galatians 5:1, he says that, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Messiah hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage, he's talking there, yoke, it represents sin. So we was in bondage to sin. And I know I put that's not in the right place, but I'm going to come back to it. So let's move on. Everybody knows there's an adversary out there, right? Hasatan, then there's the world. We have to, you know, we have to put up with all of the different distractions, temptations. But we're going to talk about us tonight. We're not going to talk about Hasatan, the world, any of that. We're going to talk about it. I want to focus on us tonight. And so I have a question. So where is sin? All right, so whenever I'm born again, where does sin go? Do we rid ourselves of sin, and then, you know, over a period of time, eventually sin comes in really slow, and then we realize we have sin? Well, let's look. We're going to find out what happened to sin. Once I'm born again, where did sin go? Or did it go anywhere else? Mark 7:21. For from within of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the sin didn't go anywhere else. It's still here. It's still here. Sin is in us. And it's not going anywhere else until Yeshua returns. By nature, there's nothing we can do to change our condition outside of Elohim. And this brings me to Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the first thing we have to do. Realize that we can do nothing with the condition we're in. We need Yeshua. And through Yeshua, we get to the Father. My water here. So, when we sin, because it's inevitable. When we sin, what is the natural thing we do? You know, when I sin, what's the natural thing I do? What comes natural to me without even thinking? Let's go back to the garden in Genesis 3:8. And they said, this is Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. You see what happens? We hide. Think about it. We'll hide the sin and move on. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid from the Father. They knew he was coming. He comes every day. Says, Adam, where are you? You know, my question to us, do we do that? You know, do I do that? And if I want to answer the question correctly, yes. You know why? Because that's not the natural thing to do. It's not to come forward with your sin. Just to hide it and move on. That's what they tried to do. They went so far as putting fig leaves on them because they tried to move on, but they couldn't. But this is how much God loves us. He didn't have to call for Adam. You know that? Didn't even have to call him, but he does. He called each and every one of us. He didn't have to. We was caught up in our sin. We was hiding it. And what did he do? He called us. So the natural thing to do is not repent of our sin. It's to hide the sin. That's the natural thing to do. And there's a good example of this in the Old Testament with King David. Whenever he had Uriah killed for his wife. You know, he wanted Bathsheba. So David, he went, you know, Uriah was at war. You know, the story goes on, you know, they're at war. And so all the troops are out, and Uriah is one of them. And David's out on his balcony or whatever it was, and he sees Uriah's wife. And he wanted her. So he's the king, right? He gets what he wants. And sometimes we feel that way. We're not the king, but we still feel like we deserve what we want. And a lot of times, that's nothing to do with God, but it's our own feelings, our own wants. So David goes into Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and gets her pregnant, right? Well, he had Uriah murdered. Because Uriah didn't want to go in with his wife. He had that much integrity. David got him drunk twice, two nights in a row, for him to go in, but he wouldn't go in because of the integrity of him. And so here's King David, right? 9 months go by. Did he repent? In them 9 months, did he repent? Not one time. Not one time he repented. But what God did God have to send a prophet to him? Absolutely. It could have been done with David, but what did he do? He sent a prophet. And that prophet came and he told David a story about this rich man with a bunch of possessions, lamb, cattle, and about this poor man who had one lamb, and he was really close to that lamb. Really close, he slept with the lamb. And that rich man had a friend come over. And he didn't want to, he had a party for him, but he didn't want to use any of his stuff, any of his lamb. So he took that one lamb from that poor man. He took him. He took that lamb. And Nathan asked the king, he said, "King, what should we do?" And there's two things he says. First thing he said was that we should murder him. Well, you know, that wasn't even part of one of the commandments. But the second one was we should give him, I think it's 3 times or 5 it might be. But anyway, we should give him that much in return. And if you go in the book of Leviticus, that one's in there. So after King David said that, Nathan said, "You are that man." And I couldn't help but wonder after I read that, am I that man? Am I him? But you see, our tendency, the natural thing to do is not admit sin, but it's to hide it. Just like King David hid it for 9 months. He hid it from everybody else, but you know something? The Father sees everything. And he could have said, "I'm done with you, David. You tried to hide it. You should know better than that. You know you can't hide that from me," but he didn't. He sent the prophet Nathan to him to get his attention to shake him. And then he repented. So we'll look at our condition before we're born again. And it's in Ephesians 2:1. He says, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead to the things of God. Completely dead. We wasn't trapped, because if you're trapped, you can get out. But when you're dead, you're not getting out. You can't get out, you're dead. But that's why he sent his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, to save us. You know, I wonder why, you know, Pastor had preached that message about throwing the life ring. Anyway, whenever I was going through this, it reminded me of that, but I thought about somebody in a pit. You know, if you throw a rope to somebody in a pit, they can grab it and pull themselves out. But if they're dead, they can't do it. And the scripture says, if we're not born again, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. So even if God opens the door wide open for them, they can't come in. because they're dead. Let's look at James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, or full grown, bringeth forth death. And that's the one I read to start with. So sin grows. The temptations we face are tied to our own flesh. The distinctive battles you and I face are to some extent rooted and created in which God has made you. So in other words, we're tempted according to our personalities, because right, Satan knows the things we like. But again, it ain't about him. This is something that we have to deal with. But we're tempted according to our personalities, the things we like, you know, stuff like that. That's what Satan, because my temptations might not be Brother Jesse's temptations. You know, he might be fine with them things, but for some reason, but it's because of my personality and my likes and dislikes. Knowing yourself is of huge importance when it comes to living the Christian life. And my question is, how well do you know yourself? Because I thought I knew myself well, but I didn't till I married my wife. Then I know myself real good. She tells me. But anyway, this reminds me of, you know, back in the days when I used to go to the ballroom. Anyway, I was there one night and they had karaoke, right? One of my cousins got up there. I'm not going to say his name. Anyway, he sings this song. And whenever he comes back to the bar, I said, man, that was horrible. He said, you crazy. I said, I'm telling you. But you see, he didn't know himself. He thought he could sing. That joker couldn't sing a lick. Well, that's what it reminded me of. Because, look, he thought he knew. He thought he was the best singer there. To him. You know? So how good do we know ourselves? We should know about ourselves. It's what we should know. Some of it. Know what type of environment tempts us. And don't put ourselves in it. So if you know there's an environment that tempts us, we shouldn't get in it. We stay away from it. Know what not to put before our eyes. We should know. What tempts me? If I watch this, am I going to get these feelings? Because if I do, then guess whose fault it is? It's my fault. Know what not to listen to. And know what conversations to stay out of. I done got myself in conversations I should have never been in. Never. Well, whose fault was it? Wasn't their fault. I had a choice. Don't get in it. Matter of fact, don't even go over there because you already know what they're talking about. It ain't good. But what happened? I went over there. Before you knew it, you get caught up in that environment, and that's it. You're right in. And if somebody who's not born again walks up, they can't tell if you're born again or Christian because you blend right in with them. Study your opponent so you will know his tendencies. Who's your opponent? Right here. This is our opponent, ourself. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble. I know I do. I'll speak for me. I got myself in a lot of trouble, and my hope is that I quit doing that stuff. It's my hope. Who is my opponent or my opposition? My flesh. sin, right? Flesh represents sin. Sin represents the flesh. So I pawn it as sin. So them things that we put before our eyes, the environment, it's all sin. So we have to be careful on what we put up before our eyes, what environment we're in. And, you know, years ago they had this, I don't think it was long after we had moved into the house, they had this vacuum salesman come over, right? And whenever while I tell a story, I want you to think about sin because it applies well to it. It really does. Well, he knocks on the door, and my wife answered the door. And that's what sin does, right? We come knocking, hey, anybody home? What are we supposed to say? Don't say nothing. Just leave the door shut. Don't talk to them. Just keep the door shut. Anyway, comes to the door. Tells my wife what he had. My wife says, yeah, come on in. All right, again, keep in mind, this represents sin. And how many times have we done this? Right then and now, I can tell you, if a salesman comes to your door, the best thing to do at that moment is say, no, I'm not interested. Because what happened once you let them in? Once you let them in, it's hard for you to get them out the door. And what happens? Before you know it, you buying it. Think about it. How many times have we bought sin's lies? Too many times. I did it. Too many. Too many. So we have to be careful. You stop it there. Don't let it in, because what happens when they come in? You get into conversation. You start a relationship. You know, you start talking about other things. And before you know it, it's hard to tell them, I don't want it. Same thing with sin. Once you let it in, you create that relationship with it, then what happens? It's hard to say no. So this is what we should do. Ask God to help us see what we're up against. What am I up against, Lord? What is it? Help me. Show me. This is what David said. Search me, O El, and know my heart. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's what David said. He wanted to know. He knew who he was up against. He was up against himself. Search me. Let me know if there's any evil in me, because I don't want it in me. If we're not battling sin, what are we doing? If we're not going anywhere else. Because if you're moving forward, I can promise you, there's going to be battles ahead. There's going to be battles. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify or kill or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here's the thing about sin. Putting sin to death is not final. It's not a one-time deal. We are always to be mortifying the flesh. So think about it. You know, I thought about this. You know, whenever I have something that I'm dealing with, I can't just pray one time and it's done. I'd be crazy to think that. But what you do, you get on your knees and you pray. You pray every night until you're through it. Or that sin's not affecting your life anymore. So it's not a one-time deal. We can't just pray and move on. Because if we do, it's coming back. Sooner rather than later. You know, one thing about sin, when, you know, we pray and we'll get breakthrough in that, but it's still there. It's just not ruling and reigning our life. This is a good picture of this topic that we're on. All right, it's Colossians, and I was just going to read the latter part, 3:12 on down to 17, but they had a word there. Therefore. So you got to watch some of them words in there. Therefore. It says, put on, therefore. All right, so we got to figure out what that word is there for. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at it. And we're going to figure out what that word is there for. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah sitteth on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Messiah in Yahweh. When Messiah, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And here it is. This is all, it's covering of sin. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of Elohim cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. So, in other words, this is what we did. We was a part of this. Sin ruled and reigned over our life. But now ye also put off all these. He goes over some more. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Messiah is all and in all. So he's saying, right here, you want to bring sin into submission. You want to master sin. You don't want sin to rule and reign over your life. All right? That's what he's saying. But then he says, he's going to show us how to do it. Put on, therefore. That's why that word, therefore, was there. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And any man, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Messiah forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of Elohim reign in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You want peace? He's telling us how to get it right there. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Elohim. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh and the Father by him. In other words, put on the armor. Put on Yeshua. Yeshua represents every one of these. Put on Yeshua. However much we progress in the Christian life, we don't ever grow out of it. If you think you are someone beyond this, then sin has deceived you. The scene of the battle may change, but the conflict never will. So the scene of the battle may change. And what he means is that, you know, this temptation next week may change the following week. So the scene of the battle may change, or maybe the arena that you're in, you know, that may change. But the battle's still the same. In Philippians 3:13 and 14, this is a powerful statement from Paul. And to be honest, I never really fully understood it. And I may not now, but I have a better understanding of it now. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua." In other words, Paul, he says, I haven't arrived yet, but this is what I do. I long to be completely free of sin. I long to be completely free of sin. And you know something? That should be our longing. We should long for that. We should hunger and thirst for that. John Owen says this, "Always be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." We should always be fighting battles against sin. If we are not in a battle, it's because we have given up. I have one more scripture here. I'll end it with this one. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Yeshua couldn't relate to us. Because it says here that he was tempted at all points, but yet he didn't sin. Think about this. Do I put up a fight when it comes to sin, or do I easily give in to sin? And I think about Yeshua. That's what made me think about that. I thought about him. Did he easily give in? Absolutely not. He didn't. You know something? And you may fault in that area, but don't go down without a fight. I mean, come on. The more you cut back sin, the less effective it's going to be in our life. The more we cut it back. But if we keep letting it grow and grow, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to succumb to it. And then once we succumb to that one, there's more in line. It's a never-ending line. They keep coming. That's why we have to cut it back. We have to fight against sin. If we're not killing sin, sin's going to kill us. But we have a Messiah who stood in our place. He stood there for us. He was beaten for me. He was beaten for you. So we didn't have to go through that. Well, that's all I have. But look, we serve an incredible God. I mean, I say we don't have to go through that, but you know there's people all over the world who is. Yes, so it can happen to us. Yes. And are we ready for it? I can tell you, He wants us ready. That's one thing about the Father. You know, and it bothers me because I know that everything, if we follow His Spirit, He sets us up to succeed. And I'm not talking about money and all that, to succeed in our Christian walk, to grow in closer to Him, to understand His likes and His dislikes. He sets us up to succeed. And I don't understand why sometimes I doubt it. You know, you have them doubts. Well, I don't know about that. But yet we see it all over in the Scripture. He sets us up to succeed, no doubt about it. But it's the sin. It's the sin. That's one thing about Satan is he tries to convince us, even when we sin, you know, he may say, well, you know, you special. You know, you different. It's okay. You'll be all right. You know, you can, after you sin, you can repent. I mean, come on, y'all. I heard that stuff. I've heard it. It'll be all right. Sin, then you can repent. Or people don't know what you're going through. They don't know, but I know. I mean, I've done heard this stuff, and I know it wasn't from God because He don't give you excuses. He tells us to endure to the end. It's going to be all right. You have to keep cutting sin back. But the enemy comes and he tries to convince us that if we sin, it's going to be all right. And when did he do it? The first time he did it, where was it? It was in the garden. You could always go back to the garden. He convinced them, yeah, but it's going to be all right. It's no big deal. It's a fruit. Look where he got us. Got us in a world of trouble. But what did he do? He took us through the Old Testament or the Torah. And what did he do? He put a plan in place that would set us up to succeed. And we see it in the Old Testament, but yet we still doubt. I know there's times I do. But he wants us to succeed. And that's why he went to David. He could have told David, I'm done with you. But what did he do? He put David in a position to succeed after he repented. He wasn't doing nothing until he repented. And think about it. All right, think about it. David lived, it was over 9 months, he lived without repent. And there's a scripture in there that he put. That he was basically said, I was miserable the whole time. I was miserable. And I thought about my life. Whenever I backslid, you know what I was? That's right, I was miserable. Ain't nothing I can do to soothe it either. It was there. But you know something? He called me one night. He called me again. But you know something? I still had a choice. But I'm thankful he called me. And that's what he did with every one of us. And you know something? Something we can't forget. He's going to call others. He's going to call others. Just like he called us. There's family members out there. There's friends. He's going to call others. And it's, you know, it's our job to pray for them. Whenever God puts them on our heart to pray for them. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you so much.